At Nutrafol, we don't just help your hair, we help your body grow it. Because it's never just about your hair. It can be your job, or your deodorant, or your lunch, or just normal life. That's why our whole body approach targets the key root causes of hair thinning. Discover your root causes and why we're the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement brand at Nutrafol.com. That's Nutrafol.com. These statements have not been approved by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease paid for by Nutraceutical Wellness, Inc.
Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of the California Angels and the City of Los Angeles, on the occasion of Her Majesty's royal visit, please welcome internationally renowned opera star Enrico Palazzo.
Yes, he's in the intensive care ward at Our Lady of the Worthless Miracle.
So darn excited
to be.
See, I'm so darn excited. I left things on loop. I messed up the video. I'm just, man, just too excited to be back.
And we're happy to have you back.
Welcome, everyone, to the Palazzo Podcast Prospects Power Hour. Hopefully, we get her done in an hour. But, we're going to talk tonight about some guys. We have a little bit of promotional news, but then we're going to kind of dip into the AA and AAA top performers in the last month. So yours truly went through, looked at the last 30 days for all of the AAA and AA leagues and went through the top guys that as far as performance in those different leagues. So that's just the last month. So, yeah, there are going to be guys that we missed that have had a really good year on the whole year basis. And some of these guys, in fact, I can tell you, one of these guys has something like a 7 ERA on the season. But he's been a stud for a month. So that's the way things work in the minor leagues. And those are the type of guys that honestly can bounce up pretty quick. But anyway, Robbie, I didn't get to chat with you all last week. How you doing?
Good, good. You know, I went on my trip to Merca and got to see some good baseball and then got back. And Govier and I took care of the podcast last week in your absence. And yeah, we talked some of the AAA kind of league leaders for the season. As you just mentioned, we're not going to mention all those names tonight because you covered the last 30 days. And since then I've got family up with me now and just excited to escape from that and come down to the basement so I can do some fun baseball stuff.
You know, I've been trying that.
I've been a couple days of straight of family stuff and I've been trying to figure out what's going on in my various dynasty leagues, who I need to focus in on either trading for or look to trade away potentially. And then, as always, the annual tradition of getting insulted by the offers of your league mates. So that's what's going on now. I open this up to anybody who's out there on the YouTube following us at Palazzo Podcast. If you are subscribing, if you have liked this chat, throw a question in there about what you think might be good value for you for a dynasty player. Right now, I'm looking to trade Brady Singer in a points league, and I feel like that's a premium return in a contract league where he's a free agent at the end of the year. I think that's worth a top 100 prospect. Tell me I'm wrong. You know, Ben, you tell me I'm right or wrong on this. I'm looking at peripheral, you know, 100 to 125-ish type guys, which for me, I'm trading a pitcher. I want a pitcher who's doing well in single A right now as a return. That's kind of who I'm looking at. Your what Jackson Ferris types, your Tommy Whites, those sort of guys, I feel there's a package. I can always throw in other stuff, right? But I want my guy. And so far I've been getting back, if I wanted Tommy White specifically, I also have to give up Spencer Horwitz, who's on a first. I've got him for 5 years, and I don't see the value in that deal. So I'm definitely, you know, this is the part of fantasy season that I love and hate so much. Because we got to find GMs and other guys who can you can make their team better at the same time you're helping yourself too. So
yeah,
it's always fun.
I just noted in my leagues over while I was gone that we got to a month out from trade deadline time. And yep. So I, that's always to me a kind of a good, okay, is there really a chance evaluation? And I have a couple leagues where nope, there isn't. And it's just, that is what it is this year. I'm not going to be able to run it back. And in fact, one league, I'm the returning or the defending champion, and I'm in about seventh place and just had Max Fried go on the IL. And like, it's not good. So, yep. You know what? This is going to be a good year or good time to sell. And already those, I kind of put a couple feelers out to folks who had talked to me earlier in the season on guys that I have. And yeah, that the return offers have not been pretty so far. So let's just say it's going to be a mess of a sell-off for Ben if that's what I end up doing, because so far no one's really wanting to meet my demands.
But yeah, I've got Max Scherzer in a points league as well, the same league, and I put him up thinking there'd be a few of the legit teams who are like, oh, I'll take a shot on him. And the returns, I mean, Hunter Renfroe straight up was one. What are we doing here? You know, this is a guy that if the two start week lines up, he could put 50 plus points on for your fantasy team in the playoffs. So it will happen in September. It's a matter of what week will it happen. He hasn't pitched enough that they're going to go easy on him in September. You know, they're going to let the man throw. So anyway, we can cover that throughout tonight. I did see Mike VA checked in. What's up? And a Darsh who came into work last week. And then after I left, called out sick. Wow. That's, I mean, if anybody here has watched The Bear,
putting him on blast.
They haven't covered that in The Bear yet. That might be season four of what to do with weak links in your chain or your organization. But to transition us right out of that, Ben, from weak links like a Darsh, we can move into guys who organizations love and are promoting. which will be part of our news for tonight. We've got MLB promotions, MILB promotions, a few bits and bobs of notes. And again, if you're not following us, find me. I've now just going to start advertising at @Mopar_Robbie on Instagram. That's where I want you to follow me. You can follow Ben at Big Gentle Ben on X. Follow the podcast, Palazzo Podcast on X. But really, YouTube is where we want you. We want your eyes, absolutely. We want your comments, your likes and whatnot, because we want to monetize this. And I mean, we want swag. We want swag for us. We want swag for you, the listeners.
That's
we want
promotions.
You know, we want beer giveaways. You know, I don't want to have to keep buying my beer every time I go to America and buy the Hams, the cheapest beer you can get. 24 packs, $14. It's yeah. So anyway, MLB promotions here, Ben, at 7 minutes in, your boy, he's up, Ignacio, yeah. Or it is officially now Nacho Alvarez. You told me tonight he's been robbed. I mean, it was a dribbler, but you played it all. You could have been the color man on that one, the way you were telling me. Man. Oh, and I thought it was for sure a single.
It was a sharp shot to third. He had a couple of less than stellar first two at bats. His third one, he put a nice shot down the right or down the left field line, but Noelvi Marte made a nice play at third and robbed him of what would have been a double for his first ever major league hit. But for those who don't know who Nacho Alvarez is, he's what was he, a 2021 draftee of the Braves? I'm needing to look this up now.
I got you.
Regardless, he's a guy who, when he was originally drafted, thought you heard from folks was this is a guy who's not got a ton of experience against big time competition. He's likely going to have to move to third. He's kind of got a little bit of a, you know, wide shoulder frame to him, so probably moving to third. And yet, all the way along, all he's done is really impress at shortstop. And that's been the biggest thing along his development that has allowed the Braves to push him a little bit. But I think because he has those broad shoulders, there are some folks that think that this is a 20-25 home run guy that was going to move to third base and now is going to be coming up and playing some second base because Ozzie Albies is hurt. That's not who Nacho Alvarez is. Now, granted, if you look at his AAA line, that looks like what he might be, because he was crushing AAA.
Yeah, so Ben, he's fifth round pick in 2022. The paperwork says 5'11", 190. But yes, as you alluded to, the AAA line, which, just so we're clear here, everybody, this is the career line for him to this point in his three-year pro career. 336 average, 7 dingers, and 113 at-bats. That is Sean Murphy. That is Matt Olson debut numbers with the A's umpteen years back when those guys came. That's Reese Hoskins' introduction to MLB. It's not what you should expect, as Ben alluded to, because when you go to the OPS down at AA, it was under 700 in 170 at-bats, and there were zero home runs. So he's already tied a career high from home runs from last year, and last year he had another 100 and something plate appearances, but that's not who this guy is. And we were kind of talking about how people just need to be careful. You know, it looks too good right now, and maybe he'll get a steady fastball, steady fastball diet to start, which might help prop the average up. But once teams do, if he does stick up, and once we see 60 at bats, we might see a change in approach after what, the third or fourth series, where he's succeeding, and that's going to be dangerous for dynasty guys out there.
For those who spent a whole crap ton of fab money on Brooks Lee, this is the kind of like regret that you're going to have if you do the same type of thing with Nacho. Brooks Lee, I love Brooks Lee for batting average. And Nacho adds a little bit more speed than what Brooks Lee does, but I really think as a fantasy player, Nacho's probably going to be an average guy that gives you a little bit of power and maybe 15, 20 steals, and that's about it, which that isn't a horrible thing. I think in an on-base league, he is golden because he almost never strikes out. I mean, you're looking at a guy that very certainly is going to be a, you know, 350, maybe even a 400 on-base guy. That's a huge asset in an on-base league. But points leagues, you know, anything, if you're expecting 20 home run power out of Nacho Alvarez, you're expecting the wrong guy. But his defense should allow him to stay on the field. He's, like I said, his contact rate, his lack of strikeouts should allow him to stay on the field. This is a guy who's going to likely play day in, day out. One of those lunch pail type of guys, shows up, really works hard, a lot of fun to watch while he plays. But
talk about lunch pail. That heads us right into the next man here. Not just in name, but we will put down the nachos to pick up a brew. Hickland, outfielder from Milwaukee. That is as transitional as I can be on that one. So Brewer Hickland is not a young prospect. He's 28 years young. And if you're excited to say, well, what can he bring to us? It's home runs. It's a lot of strikeouts. It's a decent number of walks, which means the OBP is okay. In AAA, that was his shining star here, was 382 OBP. The 273 average, I'll take that. And I'll take the 19 dingers as well. It's just, and sorry, I guess I shouldn't forget, There are stolen bases here, 26 stolen bases. So you might get confused into thinking that's five categories for me here. I do want to caution everybody. The organization is the Milwaukee Brewers that he's going up with, and they are not doing a great job of playing time for players that come up, and they are not doing a great job of lineup selection for guys. So I don't know if Hicklin's going to be 8-9 in that lineup, or if they're going to try to use like the, you know, hot hand if he has a couple of good at bats here or there. But this is one of those guys you pick up as the last man on your roster. If you do a 40 man draft or something like that, he's one of your final, you know, 3-4 round picks. And this could pay off. Could pay off. But
three true outcome guy like profile that has some speed. But you got to get on, you got to be able to get to first base before it matters whether you have speed. And that's always been his kind of bugaboo, is he really going to ever be anything as a power or as a consistent hitter for average? And that's, he's just not done that yet. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, he might have already been sent back down. But
oh, really? Also,
yeah, the other end of things with the Brewers is Milwaukee has a whole ton of outfielders. Jackson Chourio's finally on a heater, you know, but they've got a lot of depth in the outfield. There's probably not a lot of opportunity here. But he's a tremendous athlete. You know, three true outcome guy could get you some power.
Okay, I don't see the potential for him to have been. I'm just looking at like what's happened in the last 6 hours. I don't see it on official transactions, okay. But that doesn't mean it hasn't been missed. Well, that's exactly what I was saying.
I will tell you,
Brewers aren't good at just, you know, giving somebody a position here.
The MILB transactions page is not the most user friendly. Because I think every single one of these major league promotions was demoted and promoted in the same day. And so you're not 100% sure what that exactly means. If I got that one wrong, you know, take that with all the grains of salt that it deserves. So,
all right. So that's him. Now we'll move to San Diego, where we've got another outfielder, Tirso Ornelas, who has been called up. I was having a look at him before because I remember like this is a kind of a long ago J2 guy from my memory. And I was just checking like, yeah, no, I remember like 2018 kind of being like, let's follow the journey. I think it was 2017 he signed. I've got stats back to 2017 on him. What are you thinking? This guy was back in Mexico for winter ball. And now he's back up, went to AAA and had himself a decent AAA season, 321 at bats. The line looks good. Ben, what do you think up here with the Padres?
I kind of wonder if he might have been a break glass in case of Fernando Tatis not healing as quickly as you'd like, thing. They were, I don't believe he was, they intended to have him come up right now, but that said, this is a good gap hitter. Another one who good average, pounds the gaps, but not really a big home run guy. Probably more than anything, he's going to give you average. If you gave him 500 at bats, he might get you 30 doubles. And so for those who are in points leagues, good average and good gap power is actually pretty valuable, but that's not really what most of us play. Most of us play five category leagues. He's not going to steal a lot of bases, but they said if he can consistently hit, he's not a guy that strikes out a ton. He gets on base. That could be valuable for you in a short burst, but just understand this is probably a guy who's not hanging around for a ton.
Yeah, we'll see. Now, getting a second shot here, Edouard Julien of Minnesota. Everybody was very excited about him. He's a former fall league darling. He's back up. Do you see playing time coming here? Is this just a slot him in, he's going to go guy? Or is this a James Outman, he's up, but let's not get too excited situation?
Playing time in the short term while Carlos Correa is out, yes. Mm-hmm. But then they actually made the comment this past week on the Twins podcast that they're very comfortable moving Brooks Lee into second base full time once they are, you know, once Correa is healthy and can take over shortstop again. And Baldelli was talking very highly about how Lee has handled second base without a lot of previous work at that position. That doesn't bode well for Julien.
Exactly.
Because that's about the only spot in their lineup where he can really slip into. And so, unless he just comes out and hits like nobody's business, I think he's probably heading back to St. Paul once Correa is healthy.
I would say to anybody out there in the dynasty leagues, if you got him, now is the time to deal him because he's playing, and don't get upset if he plays well, or depending on your format of league, you know, points, whatever you're doing. it's okay for him to do well if you do see him and trade him and get back what you want. Because as Ben just said, this seems like a tight timeline for him to succeed. And potentially, you know, MLB trade deadline's coming up too. Maybe he is an option that they're like, let's bring him up. Let's see what he can do. Looks like Correa will be back by, you know, X date. We can make this series with or without either, and we'll make a trade to get what we think is best for the organization. So otherwise you could end up like this next team here, the Dodgers, who DFA'd James Paxton. Now I know everyone is thinking, well, that's because this podcast is a Brent Honeywell Jr. podcast. And I agree, it should be. Jose Suarez's name has not been mentioned in the queue, so I said
I thought this was a Justin Henry Molloy podcast.
Oh,
that's what Jared mentioned. Yeah.
Yeah. So Jared, if you see Govier's smiling face here, so if you see that face, yeah, there it is. I'll point like
right
that.
There.
See that face moving around and stuff. Then yes, it's a Justin Henry Molloy, or at least friendly. It's a Justin Henry Molloy friendly podcast. And of course, Ben, yes, too. But I am here for the 2018 prospects. Okay. I am Brent Honeywell. I'm Michael Kopech. That is my jam right there. But anyway, James Paxton in 2018 was a really good pitcher. He's been DFA'd, opening up a position, not for Brent Honeywell, because he's going to be in the bullpen and do fine. And we're excited for that. But River Ryan is back. This is a guy that we will talk about when I make my selection later on, but he's up and starting tonight, I believe. And that's exciting. And I would just, for the moment until we dive in, I would say maybe go pick him up in a league where you can go make pickups right now. Next up, Ben, is Tampa Bay. This has been a exciting guy and then forgotten guy. And then, oh my goodness, he's still here guy, because these are Tampa Bay guys and this is what they do. Curtis Meade is promoted. I guess the question should be, this player has been promoted. Do we care? Because a lot of second basemen getting promoted right now. Middle infielders.
Yeah, that's just it. And that's kind of a theme you're seeing right now. And even the guys that are kind of the retread old major leaguers that are coming up from the minors are middle infielders. I don't know where he's going to find his playing time, but he's been doing what he does down in AAA. He's a consistent gap-to-gap hitter, but not a ton of speed, not a ton of over-the-fence power. In fact, I was going to look here. If he kept up the pace he has right now, he's got 10 home runs in 59 AAA games. Over a full season, that would by far be the most home runs he has had in a full season. 15 is the most he has ever had in a full season. So, but should you care? It's Tampa. Anyone in Tampa, until they start DFAing guys and trading away guys here at the end of this month, no, you really shouldn't. Until, if he comes out and he starts three straight games, including one against a right-handed pitcher, nah, don't worry about him.
Yeah, I agree with that. This is 100% a wait-and-see approach with that. And Britton, who is also part of the Palazzo podcast family, saying, carpe diem. Well, carpe dies nuts, Britton. We move on now to Texas, and I don't like it. Justin Focus is here. He's back. And he's clogging things up.
When
certain players are, you know, doing things with Texas, they've been patient where they've needed to be. Josh Smith is like semi-fantasy relevant, really.
I mean,
was he a droppable guy a year ago at this time? And
Smith was a legit discussion for the All-Star game.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a reason, I mean, and a viable one, you know, that's how great he's been. Why do they need to bring Foscue up right now? Is he really going to get full-time playing time?
That's my concern is who's losing the at-bats, because you got to give them to him if you're bringing him up. I don't see the benefit in come and sit on the bench and learn, because it's July. It's mid-July. You know, like, so we'll see what Texas does. I would really be cautious with anybody here. Like, this is a club that still thinks they're in it. Well, not thinks, a club that's still in it. Has the ability to make moves and get pitching with like just health going their way. Yes, that's correct. Britton, carpe dies nuts. And if you're wondering, if you're listening on the podcast and you're thinking, what are you talking about when you just sounds like I'm talking to someone that's not there? That's the live chat. That's the fun of this show. And again, join us on the live chat for that.
Come to the YouTube.
Yeah, come to the YouTube. I mean, so
come to the YouTube, not for our faces.
No,
but for the for the fancy chat and interaction.
Yeah, because it's fun. You got a question? We might get to it. You know, if we care, we might. If ideally, you mention a player that myself or Ben like, we'll cover it. But you know, so anyway, last year first round pick for the Oakland A's, Jacob Wilson, has been promoted. Ben, your note here is already hurt.
Yeah,
has he been up and injured?
Yeah,
did I blink and miss that?
Oh, yeah, my goodness. Pretty much. If you did not see him get his chance already, not so much.
Okay.
But anyway.
Okay, let's move on.
We'll have to see.
Less exciting, but interesting all the same. Brooks Baldwin up with the White Sox. This hurt the Danny Mendick fantasy owners out there like myself who had a share of him. And I laughed this morning when I looked at a group chat. And on the group chat, somebody said, Danny Mendick on the block, but he had already been DFA'd. And I'm like, do I want to comment below? Like, so now you're willing to trade a guy because he's not going to be in Major League Baseball? You know, you got to leave those alone. But I'm like, he's looking for someone who's not paying attention to be like, oh, that guy, he has stats. You know, he had one good game, I think 10 days ago or something like that. But yeah, Mendick's out. Brooks Baldwin is in. I don't know if this is like just a check-in or if this is like you deserve a shot here. Do you have any feeling on this as far as why Baldwin is up at this point, mid-July?
Well, frankly, I think the reason he's up is because Colson Montgomery has been struggle bus all year long. Otherwise, Montgomery would get the very first shot to come up and take over a spot.
Yeah, so he's filler on the major league roster when they're looking for something versus like we're now ready to hand a position to you.
Well, and part of that is also that, and he's played just second base. He's got the versatility to play around the infield. This is probably a future utility type of guy. Okay. He can play all the infield positions, has good contact skills, so he should hit for a strong average coming off the bench for you, but not really a guy you need to know as far as your fantasy league squad. Other than that, but he's going to get full-time run here, which could mean some decent batting average stats for you. Although he's hit 100 over his first three games, but you know, first three games,
Nacho Alvarez doesn't even have a hit. So,
I mean, yeah, what a loser.
Anytime I can poke at a Brave, Ben, I got to do it to you.
Okay, I was just going to say, I'm going to pull this up, and I bet you he's gotten a hit.
I bet he, for sure he's got it. Oh, let's talk about minor league promotions to this point, because we got a few of those to go through. We've got Zebby Matthews with Minnesota from AA to AAA, Connor Noland with the Cubbies, same deal, and these are both right-handed pitchers. We got a couple of, one useless one to talk about. Catcher promoted from A to AA, Carter Jensen with the Royals. I'm joking. They're not, come on. They're not useless. They're just not helpful. We got Sam Armstrong of the Cubs also promoted, but this time from high A to AA. Brian Bulvas, nailed it. An outfielder with Oakland from A to AA. And then Detroit brought up two fellas, Max Clark and Kevin McGongle, from A to high A. Now, we're going to see a lot of movement over the next month because there are first round, second round, and beyond picks signing every day.
Yep.
The list is too big for us to just say, these guys have signed. We're going to wait until the deadline is passed, and then we're going to have a big deep dive draft episode. So everybody can sharpen their pencils and get ready for that one. That'll be in three-ish weeks, something like that, once the deadline again has passed. But Clark, McGonigal are fun to come up. What's the deal with any of these other guys?
Matthews is one that folks really need to know about in Minnesota. I think he's on about a 0.5 walks per nine innings rate now. He's been kind of elite in that category, but just really, found another tick in velocity this year and has gone from, I don't know if this is his third promotion or second, but he started off in A ball and he's already in AAA now. And the Twins are definitely still not settled at the back of their rotation. So there's even still a chance that he can move up there. The other guy to note, and I know that you're such a fan of catchers, but Carter Jensen is a legit 15-15 type of guy as far as talent. I've always wondered when they're going to move him out from behind the plate because he has that kind of talent and actually played some center field as a amateur. So we'll see what they do with him. But he's...
I mean, Casey's going to need a catcher. And I mean, they could be needing one as far like 2025, because you don't want Sal Perez to, I mean, I don't want to put down any other catchers who like aged poorly. You don't want him to go down the path of you keep rostering him in like your 14 team leagues because you think there's something there. You would love KC to be able to kind of turn to a mix of DH and catcher for Sal. And then the other guy that's in as the catcher is absolutely 100% taking over come 2026, whatever it is. And if Jensen's able to put himself in a position that he could be in that conversation, good. Like, let's get into that point, because there are highly touted catchers. I think there's, what was the first round pick they had last year? Second round pick? They had a catcher somewhere.
Yeah, Blake Mitchell.
Thank you. Yeah, that could be coming to clog that up. So if Jensen's moving up, that's in the right direction. And again, there will be a lot of assignments for these drafted players. So some of these are rewards for performance, and some of these are, we need to move you because we cut the 26-year-old at AA who's not going to be in our organization anymore, because that first, second, third, fourth, fifth round pick is coming up and they're going to take a spot in low A.
And that's, there were a number of guys. I did not include a single guy. In fact, I'm going to pop it up because Chad mentioned that the Phillies promoted Starlin Cava out of Complex League into A ball. There's a lot of those guys right now.
Yeah.
Because there are a lot of high schoolers that are signing and coming into complex ball. So the guys who have shown that they're ready for that opportunity in A are being moved up. There's a whole lot of those. I did not mention any of them here. And there were a few that were pretty interesting, but just let's see what they do in A ball before we really start to drool over them.
Yeah, we could wait till towards the end of August when we start to see some stat lines develop at the next level. This is very much like when people start in August, start looking at the DSL, Dominican Summer League, and they start drooling over guys that weren't big signings. And they're like, oh, this guy's got a great stat line. This guy's got the, and you know, and then, you know, that's when we can all get crazy and start getting too excited about guys that have pretty good looking stat lines, or they have amazing batter's eye. But really they're going up against pitchers who are throwing mid 80s and no control. So they're just waiting. And, you know, they've got more walks and strikeouts, and they look like Sotos at that point, truly.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody gets excited and they all get swept up. And then we see where they go from there. So that's our promotions for today. We've got a little bit more of the news and notes to get to, including, I got to strike this out here. I messed up, but I'll fix that later. The Mets and Brewers made a little trade. Tyler J to the Brewers for TJ Shook. Sounds like a couple of 90s R&B hip hop type singers.
I was just going to say, or 80s police detectives.
Oh, you wow. I like that better.
Yeah.
Yeah. Detective Tyler J, you're suspended. And Shook, watch your mouth. Don't be talking like that.
I'm too old for this shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or Danny Glover when you need him. No. Tyler J, if those of you who may remember, he was like the fifth overall or something like that pick by the Twins. Jeez, he's like 30, so probably almost a decade ago at this point. Has never really turned out to be what they hoped he would be. Lefty, though, that still has decent stuff. Going to the Brewers is kind of an interesting match, but once again, he's 30. TJ Shook, kind of an older guy that has really come into his own as a reliever, but that's what you're getting out of Tyler J. So Tyler J is one of those guys, because the name was so big once upon a time, heck, back in 2018, like you're talking, Tyler J was probably considered, you know,
he would have been one of my guys, maybe.
Yeah, there you go. So, but that's, it's just, you're seeing those little cracks start to form. And to me, that's the type of thing the Brewers are probably looking for. Can we get an arm on the cheat before we have to start paying up in the regular trade market? And that's not a bad idea. you know. So this is maybe the guy that maybe a guy that they're hoping comes in, works with their system for just a little bit, and all of a sudden he's popping out really big velocity or a nasty slider or something that makes him a useful lefty reliever.
Yeah, was it KBO? So he was a 2015 first-round pick of the Twins and then went to the KBO. KBO, but went somewhere where we don't
went
have
overseas.
Stats. Yeah, and I don't have stats from him for 20, 21, 22. So he came back in 23 and had a little bit of time at the end of the year with the Mets. And then this year, you know, whatever, 41 and a third innings pitch. So interesting one there. More interesting, though. For a lot of dynasty guys want news on Ian Anderson. He's activated, people. He's activated. And Connor Prelip is on a rehab assignment.
Finally. Yes.
And did I say that right? Prelip? Is that what it Prelip?
Yeah. Arguably, what is he, a 2022 draftee? Prelip probably would have been the top arm taken in that draft, and we're talking about a draft that had guys like Cade Horton in it, you know, some pretty decent arms in that draft, and he would have certainly been the top guy taken before he got hurt. So I've been watching him because he was ridiculous in spring training with the Twins before the elbow popped, and then he's gone again. And so this is a guy who's got legit stuff to be an elite pitching prospect, but he's got to actually be on the field first. Ian Anderson looked really good in all of his rehab stuff. They activated him because they have to in order to send him down because he's been on rehab long enough to where they had to do that. They moved him up to AAA along with that activation, and AAA didn't go so well the first start. But what I will say, Anderson is using a three-pitch mix again. It's not just the fastball change anymore. And he's also back up over top. That was the big thing that really led to a struggle for him, is he kind of moved to more of a three-quarters delivery, and he just didn't get the same movement on his chain as he once did. Coming over the top with it, that thing is looking really good again. It's just he struggles every now and again with location. And that's not surprising for a guy coming back from the surgery and the time off that he's had. So, but
yeah,
that if we move on, there's a couple of guys who probably were prospect notable, maybe even in 2018, were both released today, or were released this last week. Lázaro Armenteros was released by the A's, and then I guess I didn't even realize the Mariners picked up Lolo Sanchez.
But yeah, that was a quick one.
Once upon a time was a big time prospect, and he's kind of bounced around in the upper minors over the last few years, and apparently was with the Mariners most recently. But I just saw his name on the release list, and I thought, "Ooh, fun!" So
not for him, but
true. But it's fun to see these names you remember. Oh, Eddie, welcome, Eddie. Thanks for joining us. Even if you're a little late, I will tell you, you didn't miss anything good. So there we go. You know,
just a little bit of, we barely got into Honeywell. I mean, I just said Jose Suarez. We haven't talked about him. And then we're talking about disappointments as prospects who have now been released. And on the other end, I wanted to take a moment here before I go to the Jesus Take the Wheel pick, which you can see down low is the man I've picked, who I will discuss with Ben in a moment. But a moment here to talk about Zach Neto, who just over 2 years ago was drafted and then was up, you know, before the end of the season, had a full, well, not really a full year last year, didn't quite have 320 something at bats. He's at 331 right now for this year. The guy has 13 home runs, 16 stolen bases with 23 doubles, which I think is important here because his OPS is 758 with a 260 batting average and a 311 OBP. The OBP is not what we're really pumped up about. But the fact that Zach Neto, who is 2 years removed from being drafted, is now a legitimate MLB player and a fantasy relevant guy in your 15 team and deeper leagues, I think is a heck of an accomplishment for him, because he's been written off a few times already. Within 2 years of being drafted, there are people in his draft class who have not yet made official appearances. There are people who have flamed, you know, struggled mightily in Complex and A-Ball, somewhat flaming out. And here he is now, a forgotten veteran at the major league level. And I just thought I would remind everybody that his stock is low at the moment. And the Angels, yeah, sure. Worthy. It's worthy to say that we should. Make sure everyone knows Neto's a viable major leaguer for the long haul, whether it's, you know, whether he's going to be your Jose Iglesias, never get it done to your level, whatever guy. I think he's a legitimate guy for fantasy that we should all think about. I know there's a lot of highfalutin shortstops that we get juiced about. Remember Tatis a few years ago, who's now, you know, not playing and is an outfielder. This is somebody who you might want to hitch your wagon to as a decent floor type guy. He's playing on a horrible team in a horrible lineup, and he's producing okay for fantasy, which means, you know, things should get better as he progresses.
Yeah, this is way better than I ever thought he would be as far as the fantasy line is concerned. You know, I always thought, I mean, we'll get into the guys that we've talked about earlier. You know, guys like Nacho, guys like Brooks Lee, that's the type of guy I thought Zach Nutto would be kind of an average lead guy without much else to offer you. He's really shown to be more than that. And that's
40 runs, 44 RBI. So let's just play pretend here, Ben, and say he's, you know, a top two hitter in a future Angels lineup, which means he's going to get double that. Like, don't necessarily think 26 home runs, 32 stolen bases, but think like 20-20, easy. You know, this could be an 80 RBI guy. And this is on a terrible team. This isn't on a bad team. This is a terrible team. It's a bottom five MLB team. A team that's not trying, seemingly not trying to be overly competitive. So it's got to be a little tough in the clubhouse. So I'm giving him a lot of credit here. And I think that, you know, he's a guy who I did scoop up in, I think, two dynasty leagues. And I did aggressively go after him in another. And I watched him just get traded in one particular league. He's been traded, I think, three times now. And not yet has he landed on my roster, but that's what trade deadlines are for. You know, you go and reach out to the team. Eddie's saying he's 68th overall in CBS standard 5x5. Wow. Damn, that is high. He was 140-something in my home league, which is an 8x8, or 170-something whenever I looked. I'm shocked he's that high, but that's great.
Well, and that Eddie mentions that he just offered Mason Miller straight up for Zach Nutto and got rejected.
Really? But, wow. With the hype around Miller. That's surprising to me.
Which, I mean, that could be someone going, I'm willing to bet that wherever Mason Miller goes, he's not the closer. But even then, he's a young arm that throws 103. You know, he's going to close somewhere.
If Oakland trades him, knowing what, you know, we believe the value will be on the return end for Oakland, the team that's giving up that ransom is not going to be like, that's our setup guy. You know, that's our long-term closer, right? We got 5 years of Miller after this year. That's our closer, you know? So that's an interesting, that seems like such a fair trade, unless it was to a team that just does not care at all or is about saves or is highly concerned that, you know, Miller is one fastball away from 18 months out of baseball. That seems like that would have at least deserved some legitimate conversation in a, you know, DM of, that, you know, fair offer. But anyway, speaking of fair offers and buts, River Ryan is my Jesus Take the Wheel pick this week. We don't need to worry about trying to cue any of it up. Well, you know, Ben's producing skills are not that of Govier's, and I don't even try.
Well, so. and I don't even see the video. So,
you know, Jesus take the wheel, and River Ryan is going to take the wheel now. He missed April, May, some of June, so he's got 24 and a third innings in light workload to start for him. But the results have been dynamite, a 1.02 whip, a 2.22 ERA, 32 Ks with 8 walks over multiple levels as he went through the rehab. And he's going to start against who is it that he's starting against tonight? Is it San Francisco tonight and possibly likely Houston Sunday? But I would like to think that there's a possibility that they might do something fun and exciting, like push him a day. And then he'll go up against San Diego on Tuesday next week. But I don't know. I mean, that's 8 days rest. I don't know that they'll do that. But either way, he will then be in Oakland for the third start. Because again, the Jesus Take the Wheel pick, we go for three starts here because we want them to round out. And I like the pick. Just because the Dodgers are whipping through guys. Govier and I watched Roblowski go up against Detroit, on the 11th. Was it the 11th? No, it was further back than that. No, it was the 11th. For some reason, my laptop permanently says 7:43 p.m. and July 15th now. I don't know what's happened. They always update. So I feel like I need to like restart it. Yeah, it's so I'm in a time warp of dates. But anyway, so we watched him, and he sailed through the lineup the first time and then struggled through the, I think it was the second half of the lineup the second time. Yeah. And I think that's just what he's going to be. He's going to be a two times through the lineup max guy. I don't know exactly what River Ryan can do to like to bring to the table in that end, but I feel like because of Roblowski, the possibility exists that if Ryan does not blow up against San Francisco, he could see those three starts and more. They again, as we mentioned, they did DFA Paxton, so they were willing to get him off the roster, off the 40-man, to have a guy like Ryan have a shot, and I'm sure, you know, plan B, C, and D, as the Dodgers always have. So what are your thoughts on River?
Ryan is a guy, those who have been following along with the Palazzo podcast for some time, remember we had Kyle Glazer when he was still with Baseball America on to talk about Dodgers prospects a couple off seasons ago. And this is a guy he just drooled over. Ryan was a two-way guy that was at a Division II school and actually still played shortstop with the Padres after being drafted, and then got to instructional league. They tried him out on the mound. He looked really good, and the Padres traded him to the Dodgers, which that I'm sure they're really happy about that decision right now. But this is a guy, huge athlete, big velocity, and is still learning to be a pitcher. So there's times when he just really does not, he just does not have a good feel for his pitches, and he doesn't know how to get back to it. He's still a lot of times a thrower. And when he doesn't have that feel, he just tries to shove, you know, shove the fastball at you, or, you know, or aim it, I guess, if you want to put that way. My big worry, and I like Ryan's raw stuff. I think he could be a heck of a option. My concern is they've got Kershaw and Glasnow coming back this week.
Yes.
This very well could be a guy who is either up for one and gone, or is up for a showcase to be traded, and who knows whether or not he's going to end up starting wherever he goes. Because Ryan is right now he's kind of an up arrow prospect only because they haven't really allowed him to have a lot of opportunity to have down arrow time. You know, he's not put in a ton of innings so far. He's, you know, 104 innings last year. But outside of that, you're looking at a guy who's totaled 70 innings other than last year in 3 years. So
yeah, that's interesting. And I guess they're B, C, and D, as you're talking about here, with Glasnow for sure coming back. The odds good that Kershaw comes back. I would argue you could potentially see one of those two guys having a pushback because of the fact that they could kind of six man it this week if both of them came back, meaning that River would be pushed, as I said, would ideally happen into next week. And then, you know, I was just very quickly looking here at my boy Walker Buehler, and it looks like he's thrown a bullpen or threw a bullpen today. And I mean, I think he would probably be 3 weeks away at this point for him, depending on what they're going to do. But like, there's veteran arms, right? And then there's all of these other guys who could, would, and should fit in. And Ryan, I feel like could sneak in for a few, like you said, Ben. He doesn't have the career totals, but the Dodgers are not really a team who is in a position to care. They're in a position to win. Yeah. And if they're like, you're healthy, let's give you 85 pitches. Like, I think we're going to see Cody Senga back this week. And I feel like that was the note that they set on him, was that the Mets were going to give him 85-ish pitches. Let's see kind of what he can do, right? If he can get hit, or not Ken, if he gets hit by a division rival, well, they're probably not going to expose him to another one in San Diego next week. But if he succeeds against one division rival in San Francisco, maybe they'll give him another shot against one in if he succeeds against San Francisco, they'll give him a shot against San Diego. But if he doesn't, they'll probably move him away so that another team doesn't get an MLB look at him that could possibly hit him up. So yep,
I agreed.
Commercial!
Hey there, this is the Palazzo Podcast. If you're in a hotel room right now, check to see if there's a Bible in your second drawer, courtesy of Gideon's. We'll be right back after these pointless messages.
At Nutrafol, we don't just help your hair, we help your body grow it. Because it's never just about your hair. It can be your job or your deodorant or your lunch or just normal life. That's why our whole body approach targets the key root causes of hair thinning. Discover your root causes and why we're the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement brand at Nutrafol.com. That's Nutrafol.com. These statements have not been approved by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease paid for by Nutraceutical Wellness, Inc.
Anywho, that's it. River Rhine. Now we can get on to the main topic of the show. All topics are the main topic. As soon as we open our mouths and start discussing, it's our main topic. But now, what the title of the podcast episode is we have 300 viewers tonight, Ben. Good for us.
Hey, good
cheers
deal.
To you, 300 people out there. We're going to talk about top performers the last 30 days in minor league baseball. We are kicking it off with the International League. Do you want to just go guy by guy here, Ben? Is that our best bet? We'll just state
sure.
the stat line and do a little fun, exciting reporting on them.
Again, this is over the last 30 days, just so somebody isn't like, well, five home runs, whoop-de-doo. Now, five home runs over the last 30 days could be, you know, top of your league, depending on what league you're in. Certain leagues that maybe don't have as much power in them, for instance.
Oh my God, but I can't believe you put one of my KC6 guys on here. I even wore the hat. I didn't even see that. I looked through all this, and I didn't even catch the name.
You missed
him. I'm so disappointed in him. But
International League hitters, we'll start off. Probably the two that are most known as prospects are Jackson Holliday and Connor Norby. Holliday's got a 296, 493, 593 triple slash with three homers, three steals. And the nice part is a 20 to 15 walk to strikeout ratio. So more walks than strikeouts. That's always a good sign. Connor Norby getting himself ready to be a trade bait. 325, fourth, and I'm sure Mike Virginia is going to cry. 325, 434, 575 with six home runs and five steals, which to me, Norby is stealing way more than I ever thought he would this year. So, you know, there you go. That's what he's showcasing. He's showcasing them wheels there. 17 and 19 walk to
so he can out. Be an MLB bench guy because you can put him in for the defense and you can keep him in when player X walks and then you put him in to steal the bag. So that checks out.
So Cal Stevenson is the guy I mentioned here. He's like his line is absolutely ridiculous over the last month in the Phillies org. He's a little bit of an older guy. He's bounced around a couple of teams. Man.
Yeah. He's your like classic quad A guy. Like he just is a damn good looking guy until he's facing major league pitchers every single day.
412, 524, 721 slash That's four home runs, 10 steals, and a 16 to 14 walk to strikeout. Like that's you put MLB The Show on easy level. Those are the numbers you get right there. Then because Chad said that he wanted to hear about some Chris Williams to annoy Robbie. Williams is another older guy, mainly because he took some time to develop behind the plate as a catcher and has now, I mean, he's always had legit power. It's just they needed him to learn how to be a good backstop. There's some talk that this could allow them to let, why am I blanking on his name? Their backup catcher right now used to be a Red Sox guy.
Is it Garrett? No, it's not Garrett Stubbs. Who the hell is it?
Anyway, they're talking about having Jeffers and Williams potentially be their guys next year to start, which would be really interesting because Williams is a power guy, 276, 377, 741 line, and an 8 home runs, which is tied for the International League lead over the last 30 days. Not great.
Garrett Stubbs. Breakout,
9-22. You sure? With the Twins?
You said the Phillies.
No. That was who Cal Stevenson's with. Vasquez. Yeah. Christian Vasquez. There we go.
Is Vasquez still there?
Like, yeah.
Vasquez has been such a disappointment since that free agent signing. My God, he's just escaped my brain. Like, he peaked for too long.
Thank goodness that Jeffers turned into what Jeffers did, because that kind of covered that up. But that's going to be, I think they're talking that they're really happy with the progress Williams made. We'll see. But he is a legit home run guy. Nico Cavadas is the other guy with Worcester, Red Sox minor league club, AAA club. Mm-hmm. 345, 466, 586, 3 home runs. A lot of doubles. I did not put the doubles on here, but he's hitting a lot of doubles, just not a ton of home runs. So something interesting to watch, because right now Boston kind of needs some help at first base. They're playing Dom Smith every day. So there's a chance this is a guy that might actually get some run by the end of the year.
Yeah, he's an interesting one. I'm trying to remember if he was supposed to be one of the big bats once upon a time. Let's see. They have, I'm just looking at potential other first base options. Really? No, not on the major league roster. Like, you've got utility guy, Romy Gonzalez, playing all over the place. Jamie Westbrook, honestly,
they're talking about free agent Casas likely having a shot to be back this year still, but
That's like saying Vaughn Grissom's going to be your second base shortstop. You can dream all you want, but when it comes right down to it, he's not playing. And again, if you are on the injured list and your clock is still ticking, but your team may or may not be in it, is the organization going to risk getting you back for an injury? Or are they going to do the whole, like, maybe we'll save ourselves $200,000 in fees for your thing, that, you know, that BS of baseball.
And the other end of things is, if he's still, let's say he's not, he's making his way slowly, it's just an option. I mean, they just use an option to let him stay down in AAA and get his feet under him in September, and then give Cavadas a chance, and then go, odd, we have this first baseman and then another guy who might work as a DH. I think this could work as a situation here in Boston.
I mean, they tried with Dahlback as much as they could, right? Given every opportunity, change the way you play, do whatever, hit a million bombs, but please take your walks. He's not in the future of the organization in a positive way. He might kick around, but he's 29 now, I'm looking. So Cavadas has a shot here. As much as I hate the Red Sox and F the Red Sox, a lefty hitting, it could work. Power hitter there. Yeah, it could work. So did you touch on having a holiday or?
Yeah. Talked about all the,
I was organizing the bottom here. I wasn't queued out for a minute.
Then we get into, Columbus has a tremendous rotation right now. Folks are talking about, or we're talking about, the Tulsa rotation last year. I really think Cleveland has two rotations like that this year. Their AAA and their AA rotations are both freaking ridiculous. But we'll start out with Joey Cantillo is a lefty, and 20 2/3 innings, 305 ERA, 150 whip. That's not so great. But 28-13 strikeout to walk. He's got one of, I believe, has one, the second most strikeouts of any pitcher in the International League over the last month. So that's solid. Then Doug Nikhazy, another lefty.
Yeah.
This one's fun for Statline. 21 innings, 0.86 ERA, 0.81 whip, 23-8 K to walk.
Yeah.
That's
dominant.
That's a pretty stat line. And we're also talking about a rotation that really would like to have a lefty that they could bring up. So maybe. Well,
they did recently release Spencer Howard. So,
you know, I mean, that's
and I don't like to talk about that. So, but yes, I mean, Cleveland is a pitching factory. They are successful with the development of their players. Yeah, they just, you know, Rotosaurus, Mike will tell you, they can take an average type guy and they can max him out. You know, the guy who doesn't have overwhelming velo, the guy who, you know, needs to work within certain confines, they can do that. And they can max out that pitcher's ability. And here's two examples of worthy guys of call-ups based on the last month. So, and again, neither one with crazy strikeout numbers, but also neither one with horrific walk numbers that you're like, well, I mean, they're doing this, but they also have this wart. You know, you don't necessarily like 13 walks out of 20 and two thirds innings, but you don't know what situation the player was in that got them that extra maybe two or three. And that's why it's forgivable. You, if you saw 15, you would be like, whoa, let's kind of look at the stat sheets here. What happened in those games? But yeah, Cleveland, it'd be cool to see either one of these guys come up. So, I remember watching some crappy pitchers in Cleveland when they played Toronto in the dog days of summer. And then 2 years later, like, oh, that was Bieber we saw.
Yeah.
Never mind. Okay. I did. I thought it was just like some guy that got a call up. Never mind. This is an actual like legitimate MLB pitcher here.
So the guy leading the International League in strikeouts over the last 30 days, and let's get here, Chad's point, that I don't want to alarm anyone, but Daniel Lynch is dominating right now. It is Daniel Lynch of your Kansas City Six, the Kansas City Royals.
Left Boom, player, baby.
29 and two-thirds innings, 273 ERA, 111 whip, and a 31-11 strikeout to walk. That's pretty.
Like, best case scenario for Lynch here is the Royals trade him at the deadline to any non-Colorado team. And maybe even Colorado, but in the vein that Colorado pitching coaches are like, we can do this with him. You know, he can work within our system because it's just not coming together in KC. So obviously he's got the option. That's why he keeps getting sent back down. But yeah, get him out of KC and get him opportunity somewhere because he's not pitching well he has not pitched well when he's been up, but he also has not been given a rotation spot. So you can see what he can do right now. He's whether this is a heater or he's actually just like turned it on for the first time feeling great in a couple of years. I don't care.
He really lost his feel like a year ago. And just could not with his breakers. And that was the thing. Coming out of college, that guy's curveball was just pretty to watch. And then he just lost the feel for it. And when you don't have that dominant secondary pitch and you're not a 98 guy, you struggle, even if you are lefty, you know?
Yeah, lefty's and when it was a little bit more live. Sorry, Ben. It was as if people were like, "Oh, Singer's the guy out of college." No. Lynch is the guy for Casey. Yeah. That's the one. Like, you know, hitch your wagon to that guy. And I mean, there are still guys in several dynasty leagues who are somewhat stuck with him, you know, because as contracts escalate in some leagues, or you know, you're running out of years to hold him, he's just not worthy of it anymore because he's come up and down. And despite having good numbers at AAA currently, his value is really low. So I feel like this is somebody, if you're trying to get a deal done, you got room on your roster, this is your pre-DFA type guy you can go and grab out there.
This is a good description. The Barry Zito, that big loopy curveball, that's what Lynch had prior to losing the feel of it. It was that pretty 12-6 looping curveball from a left-hander that is just it's really majestic to watch when it's working well. Then my guy Max Meyer really struggled right away after he got sent down for no frickin' reason by the Marlins, and has decided to just turn it on over the last month. 154 ERA, 137 whip, 27-9 strikeout to walk over 23 and a third innings. And he's hit that magical date where they're not going to lose a year now. So I kind of think this is a guy we need to know about, because I think he's probably coming back real soon. And we saw it in the majors this year. The guy was putting up stats. So this is a legit guy to be watching, because I think he's going to come up and the stuff is good enough for him to be a pretty consistent performer at each start out.
Yeah. I was just looking really quickly at one of my leagues, because I tried to acquire him maybe a month or so ago, and I was just checking in another league to see who had him, and I'm like, oh, damn it, it's a sub-500 team. They're not going to trade. So I would recommend to any of you out there listening, go and check on Max Meyer, see if he is rostered in a league. Is he on an over or under 500 team, and however your playoffs are set up, or if it's roto, if the guy looks like they could be competitive, this might be the time to strike right now. Final opportunity for fair market value before he comes up and more than likely takes on a full-time major league career moving forward. So last chance here.
Here's a guy. Our next guy is a St. Louis Cardinals prospect in AAA, 2020 draftee, and he really struggled getting his feet under him as a pro. Ian Bedell is the name, and now has started to really figure it out. Walk to strikeout is not pretty, but he's been a guy who's really learned how to be a lefty sinker slider sort of guy and live on the ground ball. And you get to St. Louis. St. Louis has preached defense for a long dang time. And you get up to there and you got Nolan Arenado and Mason Wynn playing behind you and you're shooting out ground balls. That's going to be a pretty solid situation for you. But over the last month, 30 and a third innings, 2.37 ERA, 1.05 whip, and a 21-14 strikeout to walk.
Yeah, I mean, you like everything except the K to nine, but again, it's forgiven because of the bulk. And of course, like you said, the walk. But the other thing is, you know, he's a ground ball guy. So I bet you a lot of those ground balls are getting, you know, to whoever in the infield. Then they're getting thrown over to Lucan Baker, who's slowly rotting away in Memphis, who I talked about him a little bit last week when we talked about year-end guys. And again, this is the time of the year when players can get moved. Not that Bedell's the type that would get moved. He might be the type that as something moves above him, he could find himself hopping up. I like a ground ball pitcher, because when you're doing roto, when you're doing points, those innings count, you know, and these guys get them.
That's his entire time in AAA, is that stat line. He was promoted to start the last 30 days. He was promoted from AA. So, and he had basically been an A ball ever since being drafted until this year. He just had really struggled to get anything to work. So this is pretty solid. Now here's your guy, and I guess I would have to look up to see where he's at for his season long stats. Justin Armbruster, who's right-hander with Norfolk in the Baltimore system, has had one heck of a last month. 21 and a third innings, 2.95 ERA, 0.98 WHIP, and a 25-5 strikeout to walk. And I want to say he's got like a 7 ERA on the season still. But just over the last month, he's really put it together. And Cade Povich hasn't done so well. For some reason, they're scared to call up Chase McDermott. Maybe this is a guy who gets a shot at least a swingman type of role in Baltimore.
7.38 ERA on the year. 17 starts, 78 innings. He's given up 20 home runs, 43 walks. You know, that's not the worst, but that's not great. 88 strikeouts in that time and a 1.55 whip. So certainly sorted himself out over the last 30 days.
Yeah.
But that stat line looks ugly.
So wow. This is an interesting one, and this maybe this is where Robbie and I need to go for next week's show, is talking about some prospects that might be on the move. But
I would love that trade, Eddie. I would love Eddie's, that trade.
Eddie talking about that Jordan Walker and James Outman could both end up with other organizations and maybe getting full-time playing time. That would be a really, I mean, frankly, those two for one another would be
I read quick, I'm like, is he talking Walker for Outman? Because I think that's a great idea. Because for some reason, Miguel Vargas is loved with the Dodgers and Outman's on the outside because I guess they just don't believe that. I mean, Outman to me, I think, is being treated like Kevin Pillar was once the Blue Jays were sort of done with him, once he had elapsed the 6 years of service time. Pillar's just hopped around. He's still, you know, he's playing with LA this year. He's still a serviceable guy. He can do good things. He's not a high average guy, but he also hasn't been coached up. He has been, you know, with the Dodgers and then succeeded, got to AAA, kind of exceeded expectations, and then got up and again exceeded expectations the first half of last year. And started to come down in his stat line as the year went on. And I don't know if it was month to month or just, but second half was certainly much worse than first. And instead of like the Miguel Vargas approach of, you know, we're going to coach you, we're going to try to help you, we're going to see if we can do these things for you to magnify what you do well and try to minimize your flaws, they were kind of like, all right, let's just see how you do in 2024. And then when he didn't start well and got sent down, he went to AAA and just ripped at first. And it was as if he was like, why is Vargas getting the call and not me? I'm hitting 340. You know, like my OBP is over 400. And then he started to struggle a little bit. And then by the time he had all washed out, his average was right around 300 before he got called back up, which means he was hitting sub 260 for, I don't know, 80-ish at bats at least before he got the promotion. So yeah, get him out of, like, just move him. You know, Dodgers are going to need a healthy pitcher. You know, they have a lot of pitchers. They might want to get one who's legitimately healthy, whether that's a relief pitcher or something. You know, we watched Evan Phillips blow a five run lead, or maybe he was in for four of those runs, something like that. We watched him blow that in Detroit. So you're never good on arms, but maybe if you think Outman's not the guy and Vargas is, if you're the Dodgers, you know, you're going to look to find whatever it is that's out there. But Walker, you know, again, this was like highly touted prospect who seems to have crashed and burned. So change the scenery. You know, you don't want the Joe Adell tag onto Walker. And everybody was really excited about Adell a little while ago. It looked like he had become a major leaguer. Yeah, no, he is, I guess, but he's just with one of the worst teams and not doing well. So, yeah, I agree, Eddie. They seem to think Miguel Vargas is Rico. Suave. Does anybody else remember that song?
Oh. Yes, I do.
Okay, so, let's move on to Pacific League here.
We might end up having to stop after AAA.
Yeah, we'll have to just do AAA tonight.
That's okay.
And
So the first guy, the first two here are basically the other guy that nobody's talking about in a situation. Arizona. Davison De Los Santos, everyone is talking about him and how he should be up, and you know, they should move him back over to third so he gets a shot, because you know, Eugenio Suarez has been crap, and so, but Andre Chaparro has been raking. And in fact, this is the best stat line of any of the ones I looked up here. 450, 505, 750 over the last month.
Jeez.
With six home runs and a 9-12 walk to strikeout. So yeah, not a lot of walks, but he's also not striking out at all. A lot of contact there. And plays a reasonable third base. And I think he's like 27, 28. So he's kind of, I know he's on his second organization at least. But
he's a former Yankee, I think.
That very well could be. I think you're actually correct on that. I
feel like that's a Yankee stat. Like he timed out, right, and then was a minor league free agent. I feel like it was him.
Yeah.
Dermis Garcia kind of idea. I feel like he was a young signing and just timed out.
Chaparro, Chapparro, for those who are, because it's, you know, one of those wonderful things you get Robbie and I pronouncing, and our northern white guy comes through. But Andre Chaparro, is a guy that you should maybe know, because again, if the Diamondbacks decide we're really not in it this year and say, let's get rid of Eugenio Suarez, this might be the guy who's playing third, not Davison De Los Santos. The other one that I have in the first two here, you're starting to hear a lot of folks talk about Pedro Leon and the season he's having in mm-hmm. Houston's AAA level, which is legit. He's having a great overall year. But a lot of folks are sleeping on Shea Whitcomb.
I know one guy, Ben, who is not, and that's my former podcasting partner, Ty, who would not shut up about Shea Whitcomb being the future shortstop for the Astros for the longest time. And he has never been right about him until now. So, Ty, congratulations.
Yeah, there you go. Finally.
The wait is over. It looks like it's coming together. And just to put a cap on Chaparro, yes, he is a former Yankee farmhand. Made his way up to AAA last year and then timed out minor league free agent signing. Yep. Yeah. But, Whitcomb has been a slow burn prospect for those of us out there who have been watching this happen.
And here, he's a guy who plays multiple positions. I mean, can handle short and center field. That's an asset for a bench. And this last month, 284, 396, 494, four home runs, 10 steals, more walks than strikeouts, 13 to 11. I mean, that's just a guy with that kind of stat line just screams a really useful bench player.
Mm-hmm. At the very least. As long as he can still do that coming off the bench.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Some version of that.
That's the issue.
That OBP for sure, though, right? Like, it's the seventh, eighth inning. You're getting up because you came in last inning, defensive replacement. Please get on base. Like, use that 400 OBP here. We don't care if slap single, take the walk. Like, get on base. And then whether they try to run you or not.
So, Britton got us a good, good question here. Oh, yeah. Rico Suave. Vanilla Ice, MC Hammer, cut, trade, keep.
do you know yours? I know mine right away.
I think I've got to cut Rico.
Okay.
I got to trade away. I think it's in that order. Trade away Vanilla Ice and keep me some MC Hammer.
Oh, no. I am 100% keeping Vanilla Ice. Boom. Because he follows me on X. First, that's the most important thing.
Oh, there you go.
I built a deck. He does a home renovation thing now in Florida. That's right.
I forgot about that. Yep.
And I built a deck at my house, however long ago, my old house. And he liked whatever tweet it was that I did, like at his renovation thing, like at his account. I also know that he's a big dirt biker. So I got to keep him because my kid loves dirt biking. So Rico Suave is just a cooler guy, but I will trade him away, but I will get value back for him. And I'm just going to cut MC Hammer. You know, I know yo hammer, but
And I'm going for the former A's bat boy in all of this. You know, that MC Hammer was an A's bat boy.
He started selling
his CDs in the A's parking lot. That's how he got to start. So, you got that history of a baseball background, you know. So
I'm still taking vanilla, baby.
If nothing else, Vanilla Ice was on a Ninja Turtles movie. That's all you need to know.
Go Ninja, go! That's right. He sure was. Okay, let's talk about Seattle. We haven't talked baseball. You know, Sam is going to love this. We got a little baseball talk. Leo Rivas, shortstop for Tacoma in the last month. 360, 500 OBP, 560 slug, two dingers, 11 stolen bases, 22 walks. To 17 Ks. Yeah. Hello. I'm listening. So I like
it. He's been up to the majors this year already, but kind of was up to give them some depth in the middle infield and was sent straight back down after not really doing anything. Really like him. I mean, there's just a lot there to like as far as the profile and he's nothing sexy, but he's one of those guys that does a lot of little things really well. Plays defense at your two middle infield spots, that's a valuable guy to have. And, you know, granted, that's more real value than
fantasy relevant.
Although Chad is telling us J.P. Crawford was pulled tonight due to injury. So maybe Rivas is going to find his way back up and there's going to be some playing time. Who knows?
He was optioned a week ago, Ben. So when a player gets injured, they are allowed to forgive the 10-day minimum. So he could be back up if needed, if they don't think it is a day-to-day thing. And so everyone is aware out there. Rivas, which is under at Fantrax, it's Leonardo Rivas, L-E-O-N-A-R-D-O Rivas on Fantrax, 1% rostered, 0% started. So he's available in all of my leagues, like
everywhere.
League.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So, and
this is the type of August type guy who, once he's potentially accumulated 60 at bats, people are either not going to believe the stat line or they're going to be out on the stat line. And if you believe that, like what's happened right now at AAA, this little pocket of success is a positive for him in the right direction, he's worthy of a pickup. And if Chad is doing the reporting for us, thank you, Chad. If this is a serious injury, it makes sense to bring him up and put him on the bench, and then it's a matter of how much time do you give him after that.
So we have a question in the chat from Eddie, wondering if there are any base stealers that could be called up this season, like Estuary Ruiz was last year. And I actually think probably your best option that has a legit shot because of being in AAA already might be Cade Marlowe with Seattle. Yeah. So if we're talking about Seattle, there's another Seattle guy, but Cade Marlowe, I think 40 this year. And he's like,
I'm going to scroll down. Last week we covered the stolen base leaders and it was Seattle. Here we are here. So it was Marlowe last week. This was 43. Samad Taylor, which I mean, that would be a dark horse type guy. They also had Ryan Bliss at 28 and Taylor at 31. So those are three dudes right there. But again, Seattle's not going to go crazy on stealing bases. They're going to be a lot more cognizant of keeping a run off the board, maybe not running into an out. Depends. Like, I just don't see them doing a lot of crazy, fun, exciting things. That's why they're not a huge run team, because they're not a power hitting team as much as they want to be. So, and but I think Marlowe's an excellent option on that end. Yeah. Just let him loose.
The rest of your stud base dealers are really in AA or lower. I mean, you're kind of looking, your next one down maybe is probably Luis Angel Acuna might be another option, but yep. The Mets are still think that they're in it. So I don't know. I don't know that that's going to be elite for you. So but that's
catcher quick, and let's get it over with quick. Willie McIver, catcher, Albuquerque.
Which great name, Colorado. By the way.
Yeah, it is.
Great name.
It's a good one.
There's a guy who might work on your truck with you. A MacGyver.
Oh, man, that'd be nice. I don't want to. It's too long of a show to get into how long or how much I drove my truck. But let's just say it was sub 7.5 miles per gallon, the last tank. And it has been on its first official 100-mile-plus road trip. And it was successful, but man, it was windy, and my birthday was just the other day, Ben. And for my birthday, I got a window seal kit from my wife and son.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's just whistling in there. There's a lot of air moving in. So if Willie wants to come over and help me work on that, I'll take all the help I can get. Just like his 379 average, 425 OBP, and 742 OPS has been helping Albuquerque with the five dingers, six walks, and to 12 Ks the last month. Those are good numbers right there. And I don't know what Colorado would do with that, if they would bring it up. I keep having in one of my leagues a very astute dynasty player offer me Michael Toglia over and over and over again in every trade. You know, he wants Singer, he wants Scherzer, he wants my players, he wants to give me Toglia. And he forgets that I cut Toglia 2 months ago and I was pissed at Toglia and I don't like him in Colorado. But you know, take away at bats if a guy like Willie McIver comes up, because where's he if he's not catching? It, you got a hot bat, you want to put it somewhere, you know. We're still waiting on Nolan Jones to be healthy and then do good things. They're at bats there. Sean Bouchard keeps getting jacked up and down. It's tricky in Colorado right now for playing time. So I don't like the idea of being excited about a catcher. And the last time that happened with a Colorado catcher, Chris Bryant on fire in Albuquerque. Great. Leave him there. You know,
he'll come up to the majors and be hurt in a week. But, you know, for right now, you know, he's hitting well in the minors. But not. And, you know, what's I find interesting is McIver has been in a split situation in Albuquerque with Drew Romo. Romo is by far their long-term guy. That's the guy they want to absolutely. Be their long-term guy. And it's just interesting that Romo is definitely the defense guy, and McIver is definitely not. But there's a lot of guys who made a really nice career out of being a hit-first backup catcher.
Yeah. I mean,
you know,
what's his
David Ross was a good one.
Yep. What was the Colorado guy that it's Murphy? No, it's not Murphy. Tom Murphy. Yeah, it is Murphy.
Yeah.
He's still in San Francisco right now. He just earned himself a decent, because he's been when in a lineup, he's been a good catcher.
He hits.
It's a matter of like moving up and then still hitting. Still, you know, not obviously can't take over the position from like a legitimate defensive guy. That's why the position is so important, because it's making all of your pitchers better. And that's more important than having, you know, your 7-8-9 hitter be elite outside of those few guys, right? Those few major league players who are able to hit in the top six of a lineup effectively for a season. But they are few and far between. So if Willie can do it, we're going to watch you, Willie, and we're going to hope that things go well. And if not, you're welcome to come help me work on my truck. I would love it.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Yeah, will he or will he won't he? Next up, let's go to Sugarland. That's another Houston Astro prospect, Ryan Gusto, right-handed pitcher, 24-2, third inning pitch.
The next two guys.
Okay, I'll ride both off, Houston. And then we can do that way. We can get rid of Houston guys faster because neither of them are guys I roster. So they've got Ryan Gusto and Colton Gordon. You got a righty and a lefty. Gordon the lefty. And Gordon has 27 and a third innings pitched, a 1.06 whip, 25 Ks, 8 walks.
I must have forgot the to last put the ERA in there.
30.
Oh, well.
That's all right. Maybe it's zero. Gusto has 24 and two-third innings pitched, 1.09 ERA, 0.85 whip, 24 Ks, 6 walks. That would be call-up worthy, but I don't think it is in the end for Houston per se. But I like that overall.
Yeah, and this is what Houston seems to do really well at building up these type of guys, and they either build them up and they turn into Framber Valdez, or they build them up and they use them as trade bait and get guys that they need. And if you're telling me Houston's starting rotation is solidified for the rest of the year, I think you're freaking nuts. But they are in first place now. So they're going to be looking at what can we do to stay in first place going forward. And if they've got some guys that are performing at AAA, that at least is a good secondary or tertiary piece in a trade. You know, if you've got a guy who's performing and frankly, not just at AAA, in the PCL,
right,
performing as a pitcher. League.
I just went to Baseball Reference like a boob and didn't do the last 30 days, but Colton Gordon's ERA on the year is 4.25, which is, I mean, that's on the year. That's again, very serviceable.
In PCL, that's,
yeah,
you know.
65 innings pitched on the year for him. My God, Baseball Reference has a lot of ads that pop up on my phone. 62 Ks in 65 and two-thirds innings and a 1.38 whip. The hits per nine aren't great, 9.6, but the walks are low. Walks are low enough on the year. He's only got 21. So I don't mind that from a command standpoint. I'm happy to have fewer strikeouts and control pitcher, meaning they're just not walking. They're not giving away at bats. They're not putting guys on first. Then I would, you know, 40 to see, you know, 27 and a third innings pitched and 40 Ks and 21 walks. You know, that's going to lead to a lot more trouble, especially if the promotion was to come. But either one of these guys, Ben, I think are worthy of consideration. But Houston, like you said, might be more inclined, especially because they, I'm sure, are still looking at winning the potential of winning the division, at adding a veteran. And if that means one of these guys who's on a good run right now looks like they're valuable to whatever team is dealing, I'm sure they would happily, you know, send one or two off at that point.
Yeah. So our last guy we're going to talk about here is a member of Robbie's Big Boys Club. 6'6", 260 pounds is what he is listed. That's a beefy boy right there.
Yeah.
Former Mets pick in the 2021 draft out of Kansas State, Carson Seymour, and was traded last year. And I had looked this up when I put him on the list, and now I don't remember who he was traded in what deal. But regardless, he was traded from the Mets to San Francisco, and 2 years ago, actually, was traded, and kind of just had he was a guy who was there last year in Richmond, and his season-long stats don't look great this year in the PCL either. But the last 30 days, ERA hasn't been amazing, but this is a, you know, PCL, and frankly, Sacramento has one of the worst parks as far as pitching is concerned in the PCL. So if it's that or Reno, those are probably your two worst if you're a pitcher. And so Seymour has put up a 4.03 WHIP, 4.03 ERA, 1.39 WHIP, 21-5 strikeout to walk, over 22 and a third innings over the last month. Not blowing anyone's doors off, but I will tell you, in the PCL, that's really stinking good. that's the downfall. As I looked at the last 30 days, this is definitely among the best lines you have right here. But yeah, the Giants are kind of coming on a point where it makes the most sense for a logical person looking at the Giants right now to have them be sellers. And one of the best things they have to offer in this current market is a bunch of pitchers that are 1 year left on their deal. And so if they're smart, guys like Blake Snell could probably bring a pretty good, you know, King's ransom on this current trade market, because there really isn't a Blake Snell out there. You know, if Skubal is truly available, that's different. But Garrett Crochet has innings concerns. You know, these other guys that are there all have a wart or two as far as pitching is concerned.
But really, Crochet shouldn't be available, Ben. Like, he shouldn't be available for a couple reasons, mainly because the White Sox shouldn't want to trade him away to hopefully get someone who in the future can do what he's currently doing, because he still has control left. So I don't, you know, like, and if you look at the depth of their potential, like, of their system, their best case scenario for future rotation is already in the system or on the major league roster. You know, like, you've got 5+ years of pitchers, and you can always throw $10 million to get your SP5 veteran laden guy. That's always going to be there. You know, Toronto does it every year. You can always do that. But like, the Crochet talk bugs me, because I feel like they finally got him healthy. And not just like he's a pitcher, opening day starter, you know, he's been good all year, and now you're going to trade him. It just seems so screwy to me that you would do that to him when you picked him, you brought him up quick, you know, you did all the things and paid for all of your sins with him. And now he's right. And you're going to, like, you know, try to reset the table and get a prospect who may never even, like, assuming you get a pitcher back, or at least a pitcher, may never be able to replicate any period of, you know, 10 starts of this season of him. I just don't get it. Like, I understand that the talk's been out there, but what kind of true value would he hold, knowing that he's already at, like, career high professional innings and all those, like, little things? It, like, what team is going to be like, other than the Dodgers, what team is going to be like, oh yeah, we'll for sure take him and just continue to start him. We'll take our chances. I can't imagine.
I mean, just looking here, Alex Cobb is going to be back this week or real soon anyway. And then Snell has got, he does have a $30 million player option for next year, but
it's likely to get exercised unless something great happens down the stretch, I think, because he's missed a significant amount of time.
But you're talking about, I mean, if I guess I don't know, and I'm not going, I could take the time to look this up, but I'm not that worried about it. But Blake Snell might have a kicker in his deal that if he's traded, that option may
either might vest. Kick in. Yep.
Either might vest or might be gone. He might just be, he might have it as a player to allow him to go hit free agency again if the team trades him. I don't know. I'm just saying that there could be something to screwy with his option that factors into what kind of value he has. But Alex Cobb, Blake Snell make perfect sense to be traded. You got to think that Jordan Hicks is going to be running into some innings limits soon. And Robbie Ray hasn't been healthy. So there's your guys you're paying to start for the Giants. Robbie Ray has still got $50 million over the next 2 years after this year. Probably not tradable right now, unless he comes out and has two starts that just blow people away. But you
I was going to say Seattle found a way to deal him.
Yeah, so, this is true.
It's possible, but I don't know the scenario behind it. I mean, they were willing to take back a dead body in Mitch Haniger. So
Logan Webb is about the only guy that they're actually paying that's really doing much for him. So Carson Seymour could be seeing some starts by the end of the year. Now Hayden Bursong is doing just fine, and Kyle Harrison's pitching well. I mean, they have some young guys already in that rotation that are showing out, but there's, you know, if you move one of those other major league arms, or like I said, if Jordan Hicks kind of hits a certain number and they say, yeah, we're out of it at September, there could be a handful of starts here for Seymour to finish out the year.
So. Yeah, and if he's up and striking guys out and they're turning back to the dugout, it'll be seeing more butts. Thank you. It's time to end the show, Ben, because I'm got the butt jokes. That's back to the Simpsons one.
Hey, Seymour, see more butts here. Come on, guys, I'm looking to see more butts.
Okay. Anyway, that's it. I was looking at the double A because Ben did put the number a whole bunch of guys down here. There are a few I would love to get into. Specifically with Texas League, we've got Denzel Clark, who's been hot the last month, and his name came across my trade offer sheet today where somebody was trying to ship out a hot player, but he's been stuck at double A. And Elijah Dunham 2 years ago was a hot fall league guy who came up with the Yankees. He was 11th round pick, ended up in triple A, kind of topped out there, went back down to double A. He is completely defeating double A pitching. Maybe we can squeak these guys in next week. If that's what you, the listeners, want. And I like to do our little update at the end of our shows to see where we're sitting for our subscribers. The last time I looked, it was 832. Let's see where we are here. I'm going to give a like to this particular podcast just because I'm looking. 833.
Yay.
One.
So we've gained one since Sunday.
Yeah, I'm always happy to see these numbers grow. And it's great. And we appreciate that you guys are tuning in. I like the longer pods because we should be able to tell you more information about more players instead of trying to, you know, ram it all into 45 minutes. So the rest of the guys on the other shows throughout the week, they do the same. They make sure you get the information first and they worry about timing second. We hope that you guys are appreciating that. And we know people start to talk about July, the numbers go down on podcasts. And then in August, they kind of really dissolve because some meatballs like to play fantasy football, but baseball is the true grind of the world. You know, you got 12 months. There's always stuff going on. I agree, Eddie. I can't believe, I think it's because we record the shows and you can see our faces. That's why we don't have thousands of viewers. we haven't figured out how to do they do on Instagram filters. We haven't figured out the filters yet, turn us into,
there we go.
hot international women, and then maybe we would find some more. But anyway, yeah, Ben, I think we did a good job here covering. We got AAA leaders. We got a lot of promotions. And maybe next week we'll plan to continue with the hard work you've done with AA. And we'll look at some deep dives into news and notes as we start to get close to fantasy trade deadlines and MLB trade deadlines.
Yes, the MLB trade deadline is...
Chad has said River Ryan's cruising through three innings pitched. Thank you. One hit, one walk. I'll take it. We're going to call it an early win on the Jesus Take the Wheel pitch this week.
All right. So on that note, because of course, you know, anytime we can get a win on the Jesus Take the Wheel, we got to take it. So, all right, folks, subscribe, like Robbie said, follow us on our socials, and take some time, find the Discord, the Palazzo Discord. It's linked on the Twitter account, and join us. We chat about this stuff. If you got questions in between our shows, we answer a lot of questions throughout the week on the Discord. So, and there's lots of other really smart minds that happen to show up and chat on our Discord as well. So lots of great talking going on there. But for right now, for Robbie, I'm Ben. Thanks for joining us. We'll check you later.
Let a fuck do and spit on that thing.
The power of prospects is a curious thing. Make a person trade everything for a king. Wyatt Langford is your one true love. For a prospect, you'll trade all the above. It's strong and it's sudden, it's cruel sometimes, but it might just save your life. That's the power of pride.